Morning. Morning, everyone. This morning we are continuing along. Today's daf is daf Peches in Sanhedrin 88, and we're back on Pesayin Amad Aleph. I thank Stuart again for taking charge yesterday, taking over the daf. Some tough gemaras that we discussed yesterday, some very tough gemaras, and so let's just go back into the general stream of the gemara. And this, for the most part, most of our discussion today is going to revolve around one basic point, although, as you'll see, there will be many avenues, many aspects of this one specific point, and then we'll get on to a broader discussion of Zaken Mamre. Okay, we started the discussion yesterday of Zaken Mamre. Zaken Mamre, one of the more intriguing discussions that takes place in Sanhedrin, and that's the rebellious stage. The rebellious stage feels that he's right. He's an independent thinker, really an independent thinker. And on top of everything else, he's also independent, meaning that right now he's standing by himself on his own little island. He says, I think this is the opinion, I think this is the halacha. The Beis Din looks at him and Beis Din says to him, no, that's not the halacha. And he's insistent, even though Beis Din came up to a very clear ruling, he's insistent that no, that is the halacha. Beis Din says it's not. So it's a capital offense, it's a capital crime to go ahead and to stand your ground despite the fact that the preponderance of position, the accepted position, is that this is a halacha, not like what you're saying. And if he is defiant and he's insistent that that's the position, so he's put to death. It's a capital crime. It comes up over here because the Torah does not dictate how we put the man to death. We know that he's put to death through chenek because that's default execution, and that's why it comes up in the 10th parak of Sanhedrin. We started the Mishnah. The Mishnah began on Pei Vav Amud Beis, and the Mishnah gives us a whole procedure of how you actually become a Zaken Mamre. There are three levels of high courts, one in front of one in front of one. The final step along the way is the court right before the Lishkas Hagazis, right in the Lishkas Hagazis, where finally your state, your one lone sage, and you stand in front of that court and you say, I think this is the halacha, and they say to him, no, it isn't. And if he's defiant, so he says, Zaken Mamre, and he's put to death. Many aspects of Zaken Mamre that we discussed, but let's focus today on what the Gemara is obviously focused on, and that is, what issue are you have to stand your ground on in order for this to be a capital offense? So yesterday we learned in a Braisa that it's a three-way machlokas between Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, what it takes to become a Zaken Mamre. What do you have to be arguing about? What's got to be the topic of discussion? Okay, Rabbi Meir says it's got to be an Isser in the Torah that comes along with it, Isuri Kares. It has to be a Kares prohibition. If it's anything less than a Kares prohibition, you're still defiant and you're still rebellious, but it's not a capital crime. It's only a capital crime when it is an Isser Kares. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be something written in the Torah. Can't just simply be halacha Moshe Mishina. It's got to be something written in the Torah. And finally, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is Diktuke Sofrim. Diktuke Sofrim could mean a host of things. He obviously is the most expansive in his position, but probably it refers to something which is learned out through the Torah, but not necessarily written in the Torah, and doesn't have to be Isuri Kares, like the position of Rabbi Meir. Okay. The Gemara started yesterday the following topic. Right? Which one are we up to?
87A3,
Devarza.
Rav Papa.
Oh, we started. He started the Rav Papa.
Just got this.
Okay, good. Oh, perfect. Okay. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinana. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down from the one where the lines become wide. It is the first word in the line is Rabbi Shimon. And here the Gemara. Okay, good. Okay, the Gemara is going to begin the following. All right, let's go. Yesterday we quoted the pasuk by Zaken Mamre. The pasuk says, "Mimcha davar l'mishpat, bein dam l'dam, bein din l'din, bein nega l'nega." You remember yesterday that we went through an entire series of drushas that come out from that pasuk. Dam l'dam is reference to Damnida, Damleda, Damziva, Din Ledin is Din Enfashot, Din Emamanos, Din Emakos, Negel, Nega, Nege Adam, Nige Batim, Nege Begadim, Haram, okay, so forth and so on, right? We went through, if you argue on any of these issues, so then that's it, you're going to become a Zaken Mamre. So, here's the challenge for today, and this is what we're going to be spending our entire day discussing. You are Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, the topic of discussion has got to be an Isser Kares. Can you go back to the Pasuk, all the topics that we discussed in the Pasuk, can you link them to Isseri Kares? Okay? That's the challenge. So Rava comes in front of Rav Papa, sorry. Rav Huna Bar Chinana comes in front of Rava, and he says, can you go through the entire Braisa with me and explain to me how every topic would be understood according to Rav Meir? Rav Meir says that it has to be a Kari's topic in order for this to be considered Zaken Mamre. Amale Rav Le Rav Papa, Pok Tirgama Le. So Rav says to Rav Papa, you know what? Go to work. Right? It's funny. The question was asked to Rav. And Rava says to Rav Papa, you deal with this one. Why? I'm sure Rava could have. For whatever reason, there's a story behind the story, I'm sure. But Rava decides that Rav Papa is going to be in charge. Okay. So, here we go. Okay, step by step, we're going to go through the Braisa. Every case we're going to connect it to an Isseri Kares. Now, there's going to be a lot of information I'm going to throw at you in the next 45, 50 minutes. Okay, I'm sorry. It's not going to be, I won't give you a lot of time to digest. That's number one. And number two is that some of the connections between the discussion and Isseri Kares it's going to take a number of steps to get there. So it's, in other words, what I'm suggesting is that the next lot of Gemara is going to be a lot. So yafli means muflash bebeisin. You have to be somewhat. You have to be preeminent. In other words, you can't be a student. You have to be somebody who is a man of status. Okay. We don't need to discuss that because that has nothing to do with the topic of discussion. Just simply says who you are in order to become a zaken mamre. Okay. Mimcha ze yoetz. You know how to be ma'abishanim. So now let's discuss how Ibrashana can turn into Isseri Kares. Ibrashana, there's a requirement to intercalate the year, to add, first of all, to establish the month, whether the month is going to be 29 days or 30 days. But annually, there has to be a decision, a determination, whether or not the year needs another Adar or not. We discussed in the first paragraph of Sanhedrin some of the criteria necessary in order to make it an Ibriyar, in order to give this year another month. Rosh Hashanah also is a place where this is discussed. But here, let's discuss how this can turn into Isseri Kares. Kidnan. We learned in a Mishnah. Heine Idushabe Shema Abrim Es Hashanah. Kol Adar Shayu Omrim Ad HaPurim. Rosh Hashanah tells us that you have up until Purim to make the decision whether or not you want to extend the year by another month or not. Now the truth of the matter is that you have all of Adar because you are going to add another Adar. So after Purim comes and goes, you still have 2 weeks left of Purim. 2 weeks left of Adar, you really could in principle make the determination. Let's add another month after that point in time. But the Mishnah teaches us really it's too late after Purim. Why? So Rashi brings down, because you know the halacha, 30 days before Pesach, they start darshaning about Pesach. So here you are now after Purim, and you start going to a shir, and you're hearing a shir about Pesach. That gets you in the mindset a Pesach is coming, right? It's Pavlovian. 30 days before Pesach, I'm hearing shir about Pesach. Pesach is coming. Okay, good. And then Basin makes a decision, you know, we need to add another month. But you now have been trained and have been habituated to the idea, well, what do you mean? I just went to a Pesach shir. What do you mean? What do you mean Pesach is not coming? Of course Pesach is coming. And so, Mishnah teaches us that after Purim, don't make another Adar. Okay? Only up until Purim, but not after Purim. But the point goes as follows. But here it's very easy. Because what's going to happen is if you have a dissenting position, where let's say Beis Din decides, let's add another month. And the Zaken Mamre looks at Beis Din and says, you're out of your mind. We're not adding another month. I think we shouldn't have another month. And Beis Din says, yeah, I know that's what you think, but we say otherwise. And now you have a machlokas between the Beis Din and this Zakin Mamre and this dissenting judge, and he's insistent that either we're going to not add another month, whatever their position is, he's taking the other position, and that can easily lead to Isurei Chametz. Here's an easy one. Because by him saying, let's say he says, I'm telling you we shouldn't add another month. I know you're saying we should, but we shouldn't. So according to him, the next month is Nisan. According to him, the next month for 7 days is not eating chametz. But that's on Pesach. And then according to him, you go 1 month later, he's of the position that that next month is Iyar. And meanwhile, based on his ruling, that next month is Nisan. He's coming to permit the consumption of chametz on Pesach. That's Isurei Chametz. That's Isurei Kares. Okay, so that's easy.
Everything else can fall off. Bikurim are going to be the whole calendar is going to be settled by this guy.
Correct. All we're looking for in this exercise, all we're looking for is how it turns into Isurei Kares. Right. Because we want to explain every one of these cases according to Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that you're not a Zakin Mamre unless it's an Isurei Kares. So you're absolutely right. The consequences are many. But we're singularly focused on looking for Isurei Kares.
I just can't get the idea of that. Because it's Kares, that's what the punishment is in the Torah. How do they now say it's Mechai Meitah? I mean, he's Chayav Meitah.
I mean, the basic idea, I guess, I mean, Rav Meir's not clear about this. Rav Meir darshins that from Psukim. But the basic idea of Rav Meir is that because of his dissenting position, people are going to be Chayav Kares, which means to a certain degree, he's killing people. So reciprocity, so therefore he's Chayav Misa. I'm suggesting that the Gemara didn't say that, but it's a way of conceptualizing.
What if his tabulations are showcased?
There's no such thing. No such thing. He's very clear in what his position is. Right? And he's a mufla. In other words, he's somebody that people listen to. Devar zehalacha. So again, we go through the pasuk, and we're going to learn out how every one of these psukim could refer to Isurei Kares. So now we want halacha. Halacha over here, Rashi explained yesterday, means halacha la Moshe Misinai. So now we want a scenario where there's going to be a dissenting position by the Zakin Mamre on halacha la Moshe Misinai that can turn into Isurei Kares. Okay, so what would that be? Zu halachas acharasar. Okay, so that is the halacha la Moshe Misinai of 7:11. Okay, everything I'm about to tell you right now is not halacha lamaisa. Okay, we treat women and her menstruating cycle differently than the way I'm about to present it, based on a chumrah that's already mentioned in the Gemara. So what I'm telling you is correct, but it's not halacha lamaisa. Okay, the disclaimer's on tape. We're good. Okay, a woman's schedule goes 7:11. Meaning that for 7 days she's a nida, and then the next subsequent 11 days she's not a nida. For those 7 days she's a nida, which means that she bleeds on day one, and for the next 7 days, regardless of whether she bleeds or not, she is a nida. The night after the seventh day, she tovels in the mikvah, and she goes back to her husband, and she's mutter to her husband. That is yemei nida. The next 11 days are what the Gemara refers to as yemei ziva. Yemei ziva, her zov actually means a flow. But it means that during those next 11 days, we do not anticipate her to be menstruating. It's just simply not her cycle. Her cycle is to bleed for 7 days and then take a break. So if she does, in fact, discharge blood for any one of the next 11 days, the blood that comes out of her is not called dam nida, it's called dam ziva. Okay? It's dam ziva. What's the halacha? Halacha goes as follows. This is all halacha Moshe Misinai. You will not find any of this in the Torah. Allusions to dam ziva in the Torah, but the numerology of 7:11, that is not in the Torah. This is all halacha Moshe Misinai. Before I discuss what happens if she bleeds during the Yemei Ziva, after the 11 days goes, the next time she bleeds after 11 days, that's Dam Nida, and we restart the cycle again and again. An interesting and somewhat difficult to understand position of the Rambam. The Rambam says that 7:11, after that, immediately she goes right back into her Nida cycle. Right, that's not how most Rishonim understand it. Most Rishonim understand that after 7:11, the next blood that comes out of her, which is probably something like 29, 30 days later, is going to be dam nida.
Rama says without any blush, she goes into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a difficult position, okay?
During dam ziva, she cannot have a relationship?
No. So, now, if she bleeds during her yamei ziva, right, so what is the consequence of that? So, if she bleeds for one day, she now has to wait one clean day. This is what is called Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom. If she bleeds two consecutive days, she has to wait one clean day. That's also called Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom. She does not need to wait two clean days for the 2 days of bleeding of her Yemei Ziva. It's only one day of cleanliness. She tovels that day. That night, she's permitted back to her husband. Fine. What if she bleeds on three consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva? Done. She's now a Zava Gedola. She's now a major Zava, which requires her now to count Shiva Nekiyim, seven clean days. After the seven clean days, on the seventh day, she tovels in the mikvah. The next day, on the eighth day, she's got to bring karbanos because she's a Zava Gedola. She's not permitted to her husband until the night after the seventh day. Okay, this is what's called a Zava Gedola.
Yes, with three consecutive days, I mean, during these 11 days.
Correct.
If it's interrupted, it's okay.
Correct. Interrupted by a full clean day. Okay. Now, Mishnah in Nida, the Gemara in Nida, this is at the tail end of Masechta Nida, a difficult piece of Gemara, discusses the following. What if she bleeds on day 10 of her Yemei Ziva? Okay, this is going to be tricky. If she started bleeding on day 9, so it could be that she's going to bleed day 9, day 10, day 11, right? So you could get to her being a Zava Gedola. So if she starts bleeding on day 9, she's going to have to wait and see what's going to happen, which means that on day 10, she's for sure going to be Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom. On day 11, she'll be a Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom if necessary. Right? Bleeding on day 9, we know how to respond to that. Bleeding on day 11, also, we know how to respond to that. Because on day 11, there's no way she can become a Zava Gedola. Because the next day, if she bleeds, that's the beginning of Dam Nida. Right? Dam Nida will start the cycle anew. And so therefore, her bleeding on day 11, that's clear. What if she bleeds on day 10? For day 11, does she need to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? Well, consider. On day 10 when she's bleeding, we know she's not going to become a Zava Gedola. On the other hand, she does have one more day of Yemei Ziva. So does she need to wait Shomer Yom Keneged Yom on day 11? Subject to a machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. De Itmar. Asiri. If she bleeds on day 10, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Asiri Kitchi. We're going to treat day 10 like day 9, which means just like if she bled on day 9, she's on day 10, she has to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, which means that she's going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. Tovel in the mikvah on day 10, and then only that night become permissible to her husband. Right? That's true if she bled on day 9. According to Rabbi Yochanan, same thing would be true if she bled on day 10. Meaning, even though she cannot become a Zava Gedola, we know she can't, because it's day 10, day 11, and that's it. Day 12 already, if she bled on day 12, that's already the beginning of her Yemei Nida. So we know she's not going to become a Zava Gedola. Nevertheless, if she bleeds on day 10, day 11, Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she's going to have to wait. She's going to have to look for a clean day. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish Rishim HaMalakish HaMasir Ka'acharasar, that day 10 is like day 11. We treat it like bleeding on day 11. She does not need to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Rav Yochanan Amar Asiri Kitchi, Machi by Shimor, Af Asiri by Shimor. Rav Yochanan says that just like on day 9 she needs Shimor, if she bleeds on day 9, same thing would be true for day 10, which means that according to Rav Yochanan, day 11, if she started bleeding on day 10, day 11, she cannot have relations with her husband. She must wait and see. She needs shmira for that day. Just like on day 11 she doesn't need shimur, so too on day 10 she does not need shimur. So here you have a basic machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What if she started bleeding during her Yemei Ziva on day number 10? And here the ramifications are very straightforward. According to Rav Yochanan, if she bleeds on day 10, she's a Zava Ketana, right? She's not a major Zava. She didn't experience 3 days of bleeding, but she's a Zava. On day 11, according to Rabbi Yochanan, she is prohibited to her husband, period, as a Zava Katana. The husband has relations with her, according to Rabbi Yochanan. She is, that's an Issa Kares. Fine. According to Reish Lakish, if she bleeds on day 10, since it cannot result in a Zava Gadola, therefore she doesn't need Shmira. She would be permissible to her husband the next day, assuming that she's not bleeding the next day. Right? That is the opinion of Reish Lakish. So here you have a basic machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And again, if this translated into Beis Din ruling like one of the two, and along comes the Zaken Mamre, and he says, no, I'm signing with the other position. Now, it's interesting, because we know it's a machlokas, but still, as a Zaken Mamre, if in a later generation, the Beis Din says, here's our ruling. The Lishkas HaGoz is the main Beis Din says, here's our ruling. And along comes another judge, a dissenting judge, and he says, I disagree, and he's independent, and he's stubborn in his position, so this can lead to an Issur Kares. Therefore, he's put to death as a Zaken Mamre.
Isn't there a subject to rise of the Chumrah around this whole?
No. Once Beis Din comes up with a ruling, there's no longer subject. Beis Din rules, that's it. That's the end of the discussion. The whole idea of Zaken Mamre, as the Gemara will point out later on this morning, is that we don't want machlokas. So Beis Din rules, and that's it. That's the ruling. Even though we know, we just learned some machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and they're certainly entitled to debate, and they do debate, but nevertheless, once Beis Din comes up to a ruling, that's the end of the discussion. Next, Mishpat Zehadeh, top now of the next Amud. Din is not money here, because we're going to get to the money later on. Din over here means a halacha that's learned out through the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashas Bahem. What would be an example of that which would be an Issur Kares? So the Gemara says that's easy. Bito me'anu saso, having relations with your daughter. Not your wife's daughter. Your wife's daughter, that's in the Torah. That's explicitly mentioned in the Torah. We're talking about your own daughter. Right? Let's say you never got married and you fathered a daughter without marriage. So the halacha is that for that girl, she still qualifies as your daughter. How do we know that? Gzeira Shava. We only know that through Gzeira Shava. Not just a Gzeira Shava, but a double Gzeira Shava. Da'ama Rava Amalei Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadumi Asya Hena Hena Asya Zima Zima. The Hena Hena Zima Zima Gzeira Shava, which is, if I'm correct, I think the third time this Masechta that we mentioned this Gzeira Shava. Okay, good. So that is a Gzeira Shava, that's Din. Right, not halacha Moshe Sinai, but Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashas Bahem. So here it's very simple. You have a Zaken Mamre says, no, I don't know of such a Gzeirah Shava. I don't hold of the Gzeirah Shava. And the Beis Din says, yeah, but we do, and we're telling you that we do. So here's a perfect example of how you can have a Zaken Mamre who's defiant in his position, which will lead easily to an Issur Kares, sleeping with your daughters in Issur Kares. Bein dam adam, bein dam nida le dam leida, dam ziva. Okay, we're going to now discover how every one of these machloksim can lead to Issur Kares. First and foremost, dam nida. Beplukta Akavya ben Mahalalel virabanan. A machlokis between Akavya ben Mahalalel and the rabbis. The name we learned on the Mishnah, dam yarok. What if it's yellow? Yarok is green, yellow. I'm sorry, yarok is green, yarok is yellow. Here, yarok is yellow. Yarok is not green. You remember your third parak of Sukkah when the Gemara there describes yarok. Yarok kekarsi is green, but yarok by itself is yellow. Damha yarok, yellow blood, right? Like almost like a mucus that she's discharging. Akavya ben Mahalo mitame. Akavya ben Mahalo says that's blood. That's blood. And therefore she's a dam nida. V'chachamim mitarim. And the chachamim say, no, it's not. That's not blood. It's a discharge and it's not blood. She is not a nida. And Rashi over here says, okay, and again, every single time, you got to do this. Every single time now that we learned the machlokas, then you have to say, how does this translate to an Issur Kares? So how does that work? So Rashi gives the following example. Let's say it's the beginning of her Yemei Nida. And she's expecting her Yemei Nida to begin. And again, let's follow like most Rishonim. Rashi certainly feels this way. That it only begins with a discharge of blood. And let's say on day one she discharges yellow. Okay. She discharges yellow, and now she, according to Akavya ben Mahalalel, that's blood. So now she's thinking to herself, right, like the position of Akavya ben Mahalalel, this is now day one. And I start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And let's say that she didn't start bleeding, red blood until day three. Okay, but again, I explained to you the halacha is that by Anida, you count 7 days, regardless of what she's bleeding during those days, and how often she bleeds during that day. For those 7 days, she is a Nida. Fine. So she's thinking, look, on day one, I discharge yellow, and I was told by my rabbi that yellow is blood. So therefore, that's day one. And then she gets to the end of day seven. On day seven, she feels like, okay, I stopped bleeding. I'm no longer a Nida, and I'm going to tovel in the mikvah. And her rabbi, who is a Kavya Mamalo, says it's fine. And meanwhile, it's not. Because day one is not the beginning of a Yemei Nida. We don't follow like a Kavya Mamalo. The halacha is that only red discharge is considered dam. So really, day three is the first day of her Yemei Nida. So now it turns out that she told from the mikvah, she's going to her husband, and she's still a Nida. The husband is being boel a Nida. And so therefore, as a result of that, that's an Isser Kares. So here you have an example, machlokis between a Kavya ben Mahalalel and the Chachamim, that can translate into a Isser Kares.
I don't understand that, because she still has to wait 7 clean days no matter when she stops
bleeding. Okay, Alan, understandably, you're confused, because what you're doing is you're trying to translate what you know of the halachas of Nida versus what the halachas of Nida are of the Torah. So again, I've mentioned this in my disclaimer. Right? We don't follow what everything I'm presenting this morning, we don't follow. The reason why, I'll just mention it briefly, the reason why is because the Gemara Nida tells us the Benos Yisrael were machmir upon themselves. Every time that they see blood, they treat it like a Zava Gadola. Okay? It's a chumrah that they imposed upon themselves. Therefore, for every blood that comes out of a woman, that a woman discharges it. So therefore, we feel the women have adopted the position that it's Zava Gadola, and therefore she needs Shiva Nakiyim, and therefore she has to count 7 clean days. Okay, that's a chumrah. But the halacha is, not lamasa, but the halacha in the Torah is that for 7 days she's a Nida. After that, she's nothing. She's
totally. Whether she bleeds or not.
Well, no. If she bleeds, no. If she bleeds afterwards, she's a Zava. But for those 7 days, that was her Yemei Nida, her days of Nida, regardless, for those 7 days, how much she bleeds, how often she bleeds, the frequency doesn't matter. The day one from day seven, she's a Nida. After that, if she stops bleeding, she's permissible to her husband. At the end of day seven, meaning she'll tovel the night after day seven, the eve of the eighth. Okay. Oh, right.
Say you have a woman like this who bleeds on one day during her other days,
but during because the other days, her first blood that comes out resets the clock.
So I'm saying, so if she bleeds for one day, but really it ends up not being her period, then everything sort of gets messed up.
Correct.
That's why the rabbis will let them wrong.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely correct. Okay. Dam Leida. Continuing. Dam Leida, but pulled to the Rav Levi. Okay, this one's going to sound strange. I know it's going to sound strange, especially for you physicians in the room. I understand it, but I'm going to explain the Gemara Kipshuto. This is another machlokas. Again, another disclaimer. We don't accept, this is not the way we follow. Right? This is halachas, hilchas Torah, the Gemara's presentation of it, and once again we're machmir. But let me just disclaimer. Don't say what I say right now. Don't take to the bank. A woman gives birth. If she gives birth to a boy, the next 7 days after she gives birth to a boy, are Yemei Tumah. She's Tumah to her husband, just simply for the fact that she gave birth. Forget blood, forget no blood. She is Tumah, right? She cannot have relations with her husband for a boy. On the eighth day, she starts Yemei Tahara. She is now permissible to her husband. Even if she bleeds, she's permissible to her husband. That is Yemei Tahara. And that extends for the next 33 days. On day 40, she's now finished with her Meitahara, and now the next time that she bleeds, she is going to be prohibited to her husband, because the next time she bleeds is the beginning of a new Nida menstruating cycle. If she gives birth to a girl, it's the same idea, just the numbers are doubled. 14 days of Yemei Tumah, followed then by another 66 days of Yemei Tahara. After that, that's now 80 days later. After that, she bleeds again. That is the beginning of her Dam Nida. Okay? During Yemei Tahara, the husband is permitted to her, even though she's bleeding. So it's an oddity in the Torah where a woman can be bleeding and is permissible to her husband. Okay, that's Yemei Tahara. The Gemara, the Chumrah that we've adopted, as you can imagine, that when a woman's bleeding after childbirth, you're not allowed to have relations with her. That Chumrah came about during the period of the Gaonim. Okay? Just pointing that out, but that doesn't affect us in our understanding of the Gemara. Okay. Now, there is a machlokas between the Amoraim, between Rav and Levi, and this is an interesting one. In order for her to shift from being Tameh Tameh to Tahora, meaning let's say she had a boy. So on day 7 to day 8, day 7 she bleeds, that's even if she doesn't bleed, she's Tameh. Day 8 she bleeds, she's Tahora. Okay, do I need to see a break of her bleeding between day 7 and day 8? Machlokas. Subject to a machlokas. Let's go to the back end. On day 40, right, so she's bleeding on day 40, and then she continues bleeding on day 41. Now, day 40, we said she's Tahora. Day 41, we said she's Tameah. Do I need to see a break in the bleeding in order to identify that this bleeding on day 41 is a new bleeding? It's not part of the old bleeding? Same. Machlokas between Rav and Levi. What is this machlokas predicated on? So again, I'm presenting the Gemara Kipshuto. It's predicated on whether these bloods that come out of her are coming out of different pipes. Obviously, I'm not referring to pipes. I'm referring to some sort of structure within the woman's body. It's mayan achad or shtei mayanot, right? One pipe or two pipes. Now, again, kipshuto, the way the machlokas presents is like this. You may, there are dam tmeya and dam tahara. If it comes out from one pipe, so there is not necessarily a shuttle valve, meaning that it's going to be the same blood, and for whatever reason, the Torah deems that bleeding on day 7 is Tameah, and bleeding on day 8 is Tameah. Which means, therefore, that there doesn't have to be a break in the bleeding. It could be just a continual flow of bleeding, and nevertheless, the status of the blood changes. Her status changes. That is one position. The other position is no. It actually shtei mayanot. There are two pipes, and it has to be a shuttle valve. In other words, the only way the one pipe is going to go on is the other one shuts off, which means that it has to be a break in the bleeding. Now, actually, it comes out as a chumrah, and it comes out as a kula, which means that to go from day 7 to day 8, and her to have a change in status, there has to be a break in the bleeding between day 7 and day 8. In order for her to become tahora, she actually has to have a pause in the bleeding. But it also affects the back end, which means that on day 40, if she doesn't have a break in the bleeding, so that blood that comes out of her continues to be Demei Tahara. Okay. Now it's very easy to see how this can turn into a machlokas that has ramifications of Isuri Kares. Because if you're of the position, ooh, that blood that comes out of her is Dam Tahara. What do you mean, Dam Tahara? We're on day 45. Oh, but she never took a break. She continued bleeding. I mean, why she's not dead yet, I don't know. But she bled from day 40 to day 45. I didn't have to give such a bizarre example. From day 40 to day 45. So again, one position could be, it's still Dam Tahara. The other position is, are you out of your mind? That's Dam Nida. So that obviously results in Isuri Kares.
You could have said the exact opposite.
I understand. I totally understood. Okay? Point understood. I don't know. Dam Leida beplukta de Rav Levi did Marav Amar Mayanachad who ator Tomas vator Taraso. Rav is of the opinion it's Mayanachad, and the Torah just simply changes its status. Levi Amar Shnei Mayanot Hey Nistamatami Niftachator Nistamator Niftachatame. Okay, that's the machlokus. I explained how it can lead to Isurei Karis. Next, Dam Ziva beplukta de Rav Elazar v'Rabbi Yehoshua did not. Oh, this one's difficult. Okay. As I already explained, the schedule of a woman of being 7-11. During 11 days, if she sees bleeding for 3 consecutive days during those 11 days, she's a Zav Gedola. Okay? Which means now that in order for it to become permissible again, in order for it to do anything again, she needs Shiva Nikim, she needs to count 7 clean days, and then and only then is she permissible to her husband, and any bleeding after that point in time is going to be the beginning of her Nida cycle. Okay? That is 3 days, consecutive days of bleeding during her 11-day period after Yemei Nida. Fine. There is a halacha that she only will be a Zava Gedola if the bleeding happens with no external cause. If the bleeding happens because of an external cause, that blood is not Yemei Ziva, Dam Ziva, it's something else. What is it? I'm not sure, but it's something else. So let's say, for example, she's going into labor. Okay? Now, again, for the physicians here in the room, it's difficult to understand, because if she's going into labor, that means that she had a gestation period, which probably means that she has not been menstruating for 9 months, if not definitely what it means. How she can be experiencing her Yemei Ziva while going into labor is difficult to understand. Okay, I understand, I follow, but let's just operate with the basic halacha. The halacha is that if she is bleeding for 3 consecutive days as a result of going into labor, and she knows that because she feels the pain, right? That blood that comes out of her is not Yemei Ziva. It's not. Okay, consequently, if she gives birth, she's fine. Meaning, all she is just a woman who gave birth. She's not a Zava Gedola. What if she has 3 consecutive days of bleeding? Coupled with that, she had labor pains, but then she had a break. She had a lapse. Like a little bit, she didn't give birth, and then she had a day's worth of just relaxation and rest, and it was false labor pains. Okay? So, we will go back to those 3 days of her bleeding, and we're going to reassess what those days were. Those were not blood as a result of her labor pains. That was actually Dam Ziva. And therefore she's a Zava Gedola. Now that means then, as Rashi explains, I'm presenting over here in shorthand, we're not going through any Rashis today. Rashi explains that after she gives birth, she's going to have to take into consideration 2 things. Number one, she gave birth. She'll need to bring her karbanos as a woman who gave birth. Plus, she's also going to have to deal with the fact that she's a Zava Gedola, and somehow during the days after birth, come up with Shiva Nikim, 7 clean days, and bring karbanos for being a Zava Gedola.
When are those Shiva Nikim going to come? It
could be 40 days.
You got to find them. You got to find them.
What I'm saying, if it goes from Ziva
right
to Yemei Toma, right, Aleda, Yemei Toma.
Right. One of the most complicated pieces of Gemara that come up in Masecht Nida addresses this very case and addresses the complexity of looking for those Yemei Nida. I'm sorry, the Shiva Nikim afterwards. It's unbelievably complex. Okay.
You claim that some of the bleeding is from shock, from stress.
Okay, right. But again, if she experiences a break, a cessation of pain, mm-hmm, for a period of time, so then we reassess. How long a break does she need in order for this bleeding to be reassessed? That's subject to a debate amongst the Tanaim. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, the Amar, sorry. Kashasa shlosha yamim besoch achara sayom. Im shafta me'es le'es v'yalda. She had 24 hours of respite, of just relaxation. So, hare ze yoledes bezov divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, 24-hour period of just no pain and a break from labor. So now we go back and we reassess that her 3 days of bleeding was in fact a Zava Gedola, and now she gave birth and she's a Zava Gedola. Fine. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, Laila V'yom. 24 hours is not enough, but she needs a full night and a full day, which could result in more than 24 hours. Because let's say the pain stopped in the middle of the day, that doesn't count. She needs the next entire night plus the next entire day. Almost like Kilele Shabbos, just like a Shabbos. In other words, rest for her is like rest for us. Just like Shabbos is a day of rest, she also needs a day of rest, a full night and a full day. Right? Kilele Shabbos. V'yomosh ha'shavta min etzar v'lo min adam. From the point of the stopping of pain and not from the stopping of bleeding. Okay?
And what happens if it's less than...
If it's less than that, she is not a Zavag... She's not a Zavag Gadolah. She's not...
But she can't sleep with her husband.
Anyway, because of having... In other words, right. If she gave birth, she's a... If she gave birth, then she's a Leda. She's Tumas Leda. Right. If she didn't give birth,
no,
she'll be...
It's a day.
Right. So she'll marry...
A day and a night.
I'm not even sure. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But before you become a Zavag Gadolah, you're a Zavag Gadolah.
Right. But I'm not even sure if it's that. I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know, but it's not a Zavag Gadolah, and she's not Yoledes B'Zav. So again, so as Rashi points out over here, perfect. So now you have a major machlokas amongst the Tanayim. How long a break does she need between her pains and her birth in order for it to be considered her bleeding to be considered a Zavag Gadolah? And once again, if you take a position which is a loan. Singular position against the accepted position, your lone position can result possibly in Isurei Karis, because you could tell the woman and her husband, you're not a Zavag Gadolah, don't worry, it's fine. Just get rid of the Tumas Leda and you're fine. And meanwhile, the other position may be, what are you talking about? That she bled for 3 days. She had 24-hour respite before having the baby. That she's the Yoledes B'Zav. She's a Zavag Gadolah. And again, so something like that can lead to Isurei Kares. Next. Bein Din L'Din. Okay, now these next ones are going to be even trickier. Because we're going back to the Braisa. Every one of these machloksim between the Zaken Mamre and the accepted position leads to Isurei Kares. Now, it's going to be tricky because we're now getting into monetary law. Now, how does monetary law translate into Isurei Kares? Okay, think about it. Again, I'm going to present this according to Rashi. So, Bein Din L'Din, Bein Din Mamonos, Din Nefashos, Din Makos. That is the Braisa. And now the Gemara attacks. Din Mamonos, Beplukta Deshmo V'Rabbi Abao. Let's go back to the beginning of the Masechta. Let's really go back. Right, day one of Sanhedrin, or day two. How many judges do you need to make a Beis Din, a monetary Beis Din? Two or three?
Right?
Three is the correct answer. Two is the opinion of Shmuel. Right? So, the Amr Shmuel, Shnaim Shadanu Dineim Din, El Shenikraim, Beis Din Chatzuf. Shmuel says, it's chutzpah, right? But it works. It's valid. Rabbi Abao Amr, the Divra Akal, Ein Dineim Din. It's not a din. So, that's only, it's funny, that's the end of the Gemara, and that's just the beginning of the story. There's still more that we need to understand, because good, now we know the machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Abao in terms of what constitutes a court, and how does that lead to Isurei Kares. So Rashi explains like this. Let's say you take the Shmuel position, right? Some lone judge takes the Shmuel position. In monetary case, let's go to court. Only two judges, Shmuel says it's fine, let's go like Shmuel, two judges is fine. Right? Then we go to court with two judges. Now the accepted view is not two judges, but rather three judges. So what you have done is you have unlawfully taken money away from an individual. Right? As you being the Zaken Mamre, have now taken a person's money and basically just took it away from him. With two judges, that's not a court. That's called thievery, it's called stealing. Okay, and you handed it to somebody else. So that other person now is holding the money. That's money unlawfully gained. Okay, now what? So Rashi goes on to finish the story. Now he goes over to a woman, and he says, here, Hare at mekudeshes li, I want to be mekadesh with this money. It's not his money, somebody else's money. The kedushin is not going to be a valid kedushin. And he hands it to her, and he gets married to her. And it's not a marriage. Okay, and then that woman now thinks she's married when in fact she's not married, and that now could possibly lead to a case of adultery, and that is how this can all turn into Isuri Karis. And that will be the basic model. We're going to follow that model again and again in terms of how we're going to connect everything to Isuri Karis.
Any monetary gain, that's happening. As long as the guy gets money, that's not supposed to be used. When you marry somebody, that's it.
Correct. Correct.
In the case of that, you don't assume that the
litigants are
this isn't
I mean, the way Rashi presents it, it's gneva. It's just theft. I mean, that's.
You could go to one guy and he can do a pshara for you.
Right. I hear you. Dini Malkos. No, not yet. I'm sorry. Dini Nefashos. Okay. Yeah. Dina nefashos bepulka the Rebbe v'rabbanan d'tanya. Rebbe Omer v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh nefesh. Sorry. V'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh mamon. Nefesh tachas nefesh translates into money. Ata Omer mamon einu la nefesh mamish. Nemer nesina lamal v'nemer nesina lamata. Malahala mamon afkan mamon. Okay. Now remember this. This we just did a couple days ago. Manslaughter. Right. What? Not manslaughter. Okay. Right, mistaken identity. Okay, let's say it like that. Right, I'm looking to kill one person, and by accident I killed another person. Right? My intention was, I want to bump this guy off, and oops, I didn't bump off that guy, I bumped off another guy. Right? That's a big oops. So is that murder as a capital crime? Subject to a debate. Machlokas. We poskin that it's not a capital crime. Right? It's a crime, but not a capital one. Do you have to pay for the wrongful death of that individual? Right? Do you have to pay for that? That's subject to a machlokas. Right? So that's din in a fashos, where we have a machlokas that translates into, do I need to pay for the wrongful death? Rebbe says you do. Nefesh tachas, nefesh teaches us, mamon. Right? A life for a life. Sometimes I don't die, sometimes I just pay money. Right? Like this example over here, Kivan Laharagazeb, the Haragazeb. Fine. And the Chachamim say no, you don't pay money. Okay? It's either Kimle Midarabimine, right? Whatever the Svara is behind it, you don't pay money. So again, now, we're just going to go back to Rashi. And so how does that translate into Suri Kares? Because now the party who gets the money, right? Let's say the Zuck and Mamre says, yeah, pay him. Well, maybe we don't pass him like Rebbe. Maybe the Basin doesn't pass him like Rebbe. And he says, no, pay him. And so now the family gets money, unlawfully gained because we don't pass him like Rebbe, but the Zuck and Mamre is insistent, no, you pay him. And that's not the accepted halacha. And he goes ahead and he takes that money and he marries a woman, and right, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Dine Makos. The Tulta de Rabbi Shmuel Barabban and did not my Makos begimel Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Bechav Gimel. Another Machlokas. How many people do you need in order to give Makos? Major Machlokas in the Mishnah, first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, 3 or 23. Right? This is corporal punishment, but is it like capital? Do you need 3 or do you need 23? So again, Rashi goes on to explain, it's going to be the same explanation again and again. If let's say the accepted halachic position is 23, and you have your dissenting sage, and he says, give a makos with 3. What are you talking about? 3, you need 23. And he allows now judges and the officers to give a makos. That's not makos, you know what that is? That's called beating a guy. Right? That's called a good old-fashioned beating. But that's nezek. Right, and you need to give him money, right? So once again, that would be a scenario where, well, let's go the other way. Let's say the halach is 3, and he's insisting that you need 23. So now, according to him, it's nezek, it's damages. You have to pay, right? And it's unlawfully gained money. You marry a woman with that unlawfully gained money, and that's how it's the story carries. Okay, these next are going to be a little bit easier because in order to get from the crime to Nisar Kares, it's not going to be such a right step-by-step process.
In all these cases, you give the money to the guy, and he does give the money incorrectly to the other guy. It's not Geneva. He got it lawfully. He got it.
Only because Zizak and Mamre said it was okay, and it's not okay.
So
not his money.
But I understand.
Right.
No, but the money is given. But
there's no intention.
There's a Kenyan on the...
There's no Kenyan for
mine. I understand where you're going, but
he's certainly been doing anything.
Right, he was right.
The money was not gained unlawfully.
Okay.
But the judge needs to make it up.
Right. Right. In other words, there was...
Isn't that his money?
I don't know. I see where you're going.
That's why there's card, because it's not his
rules.
Right. But Rabbi Tershel. Rabbi Tershel is focusing on the result, meaning the money that he's holding in his hands right now. The judge did wrong.
Since it's not his money, any confusion
that he gets.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's table the discussion. I hear it. Let's table it. Let's. Okay. Be nega la nega be nega adam nega batam nega begadam. Here it gets a little bit easier now. Nega adam be pulked to the Rav Yeshua Rabban and the nani in Bayerus kadam seyar lavan tamei im seyar lavan kadam la beheres tahor. Basic halachas of tumas nega. Basic, like I know anything beyond basic. I don't. Right. Put that on tape. I don't know anything beyond basic, but I do know basic. Right. I think I do. If the white spot comes before the hair, so the person's tummy. So in other words, you need white spot followed by a growth of white hair in that white spot. In Seir Lavan Konam Baharis, but if the first thing that grows is the white hair, then followed by the surrounding white spot, Tahor. So in order for this to be Tzaras, there has to be an order. White spot followed by white hair. Safek, but let's say you wake up in the morning and you see both. You see the white hair, you see the white spot, and you don't know which one came first. So, Tummy. Major machlokus. Rabbi Yoshua Amar Kea, my Kea Amar Rava Kea Tahor. So it's a major machlokus if it's a suffik, right? Suffik Tuma, I know suffik Tuma Brishas Yachid. All right, but it's a machlokus. So now this is easy because now are you a mitzora? Are you not a mitzora? Machlokus. Let's say the consensus position is you are a mitzora, and along comes this one renegade judge, and he says you're fine. Go into the base of Mikdash. Oh, tummy person going into the base of Mikdash, kares. Let's do two more of these and we'll stop for today. Nigibatim beplukta the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, v'rabbanan denan Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, la'olam ena bayis tummy ad, shiira, kishnei grisim al shtei avanim, kishbishtei ksalim, bekeren zavis, arko kishnei grisim, v'rachvo kegris. In order for the house to be tummy, you need a corner, two spots of tzaras in the corner, one facing the other one. Then and only then is it Saras. My time of the Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ksiv Kiros, Ezu Kirshu Kikiros, Avi Omer, Zekeren Zavis. You need that corner spot. One more. Nige Begadim. Beplukta de Rabbi Nasan ben Avtomos, Verabanan de Tanya. Rabbi Nasan ben Avtomos Omer, Minayin Lepricha Begadim Shu Tahara. Let's say you wake up in the morning, you take out your shirt, and your shirt is Saras. From top to bottom. Now we know there's a funny halacha by tzaras. If you have tzaras head to toe, right, you're tahor. You're tahor. Is the same thing true by your clothing? Machlokas. So again, the namar. I'm sorry. Let me just finish this up. Namar karachas vegabachas ba'adam. Namar karachas vegabachas bebegadim. Malahalam parach bekulo tahor. Afkan parach bekulo tahor. Fine. So you see, it's a machlokas amongst the Tanayim, whether the entire piece of clothing, whether is Tahor or Tameh, and once again, you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, so if the consensus position is, it's Saras. And then you have the renegade who says, no, it's not Saras. So you're going to follow, and you follow the renegade, that is how the Zaken Mamre's position can lead to Kares. Okay, good. We got through a lot today. A lot. Okay, we're behind. Today's daf is Peches. We got to Peches. I wanted to touch it, so just like, you know, the idea of being even further behind just is bizarre. Rabbi Hanani Menekash Amasakash Bakhu Zaki Sulafi Khachir Mentor Mr. Shanemanekha Fitzman Sikh Yagdutra.